It takes a village to raise property values.
This curse is inflaming a very touchy political situation.
Alderman Sheedy sat in his office with Mr. Lewis. He'd broken out in a sweat after his close encounter of the geriatric kind, and it had only grown worse.
There's been a lot of fighting over that baseball stadium, even before the curse made things crazier. The owners are doing a lot of construction on the place, lots of redevelopment. If they didn't get the permits, it's like Mrs. Gudrun said. They were going to move to the suburbs and start from scratch where the land was cheaper.
That's not exactly unusual in this day and age, commented Mr. Lewis.
It's not that complicated,
Alderman Sheedy attempted to explain.
The city's running a budget deficit. We get an amusement tax on every ticket to a game. We get a beer tax on every beer sold. We've got a food tax on every hot dog and peanut. We get the same tax in every bar that sprung up around the neighborhood. We used to make a mint off parking tickets until the idiot mayor sold the city's parking concession. But we can still issue traffic tickets galore. All the better if they're tickets to suburbanites. We're going to build a new hotel. More tax from outsiders. We can't just leave all that tax money on the table while the city's in the hole. More importantly, I own a lot of property around here, and development keeps my property value up and the rent I can charge up. I'm paying you because I'm not going to lose property value over a curse, and I'm not losing the next election over it either.
So the primary goal is more about alleviating the political situation than dispelling any curse? Asked Mr. Lewis.
That's complicated.
Alderman Sheedy rubbed his temples, the copious sweat substituting for massage oil.
There's a couple of things going on. Mrs. Gudrun, the lady that was yelling at me about the bodies, she's in charge of the Ice Year Neighborhood Partners. It's a sort of neighborhood association. The worst not-in-my-backyard group you've ever seen. You think it's bad when somebody moves next door to a bar and complains that there's a bar next door? The ballpark's well over 100 years old, and they act like it's new to the neighborhood. The thing is, they're senior citizens, and they're the most regular voters there are. And more people listen to them than you'd think. They're taking advantage of the curse breaking free of the stadium for another push to get rid of the ballpark. That can't happen, and I don't want them coming after me if it doesn't.
Then let's back up a little, suggested Mr. Lewis. Explain to me what you mean by the curse breaking free of the stadium.
Right, said Alderman Sheedy. So ever since the curse was placed on the stadium back in the 40s, nothing ever goes right for them. Either the team's terrible or something incredibly stupid happens to them before they can get to the World Series. They lose a game because a ball rolls between the outfielder's legs. Straight out of the Three Stooges movie, or a fan interferes with a home run ball. That was the curse. No matter what, they just can't make it to the series. So this year, it actually looks like their year, since, you know, they're wanting to expand the ballpark and teams always seem to come back when it's time for construction. This time, it really looks like their year. More people are showing interest in the team than ever before. More money is being spent in the neighborhood than ever before, and the curse is so mad at this, it's left the ballpark and it's getting revenge on the fans.
I don't think curses can get mad, Mr. Lewis sighed. The manifestation of the curse, it was like what we just saw? The goat avatars over their heads and effectively suicidal actions?
Those were the first direct deaths, replied Alderman Sheedy. It started slowly. More drunk and disorderly behavior. More public urination and throwing up. Maybe a few more fights with visiting fans. Nothing that unusual, just a little more of it. And it's not like we want to discourage spending money around here. That's all part of the experience. So, eventually, we notice it's a little rowdier this year. After all, the team's winning for a change. So we put a few more cops on duty. And when we did that, instead of showing the curse respect, that's when the goats started showing up. The same kind of behavior, but worse. A lot more volume when they toss their cookies on the street. A brawl instead of just shoving. Buzzkill on top of damages. And that's let the Ice Year Neighborhood Partners get some traction with evicting the ballpark.
She called you cousin. Is there family business involved? Asked Mr. Lewis.
No,
groaned Alderman Sheedy.
She calls all the public servants little cousin.
She seems to think we owe her something.
Those NIMBYs are just weird and entitled. You need to take away what they can complain about.
So, in theory, it would also be acceptable to push this curse back into the ballpark, assuming that it's experiencing some sort of scope creep associated with the team's performance.
I suppose. Alderman Sheedy wrinkled his brow. As long as nobody dies inside the ballpark, I really don't care. Somebody dying during a game would be bad for business. And as long as these goat heads stop appearing, nobody's going to think a certain amount of bad behavior is out of the ordinary. But the Santa Stagger is next week.
You can't mean. Horror crept its way under the face of Mr. Lewis.
That's right. 2,000 overgrown frat boys in Santa costumes, blind drunk before they go on a 17-bar pub crawl. It's the worst weekend of the year. All by itself, Santa Stagger is worse than the curse. If the curse seizes onto it, it could be the Great Fire all over again. And that's not the worst part.
How do you figure that?
As alderman, I get to be an agent of record for the ward's insurance policies. If we have that kind of full-scale riot, there's going to be claims. It'll blow my loss ratio, and I won't get my new losses bonus. I will not have a 70-year-old curse costing me money.